Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So page 20, 25. Mixture of bhavas will be discussed. Baladeva and others have a mixture of Sakya, Vatsalya and Dasya. Mukara and others have a mixture of Vatsalya and Sakya. Yudhishthir has Vatsalya and Sakya. Bhima has Sakya and Vatsalya. Arjuna has Sakya and Dasya. Anakul and Sahadev had Dasya and Sakya. Uddhava has Dasya and Sakya. Akrura and Ugrasena have Dasya and Vatsalya. Aniruddha and others have Dasya and Sakya. So it means that they'll have, one will be prominent, there'll be some touch of the other. So you get some of that flavor there. So, you know, so it'll work. Because you have the five rasas, then you always have that connection between them. You know, especially like you see most of these mixes are in between the Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya. Because those are all controlled by the Chit potency. Does that make sense? The Hladini potency then controls the conjugal rasa. The Samvit potency controls the Vatsalya, Sakya, and Dasya. And the Sandini potency then controls or expands the Shanta. You know, like all the cows, the trees, and everything like that. So, naturally, in between these three, they can be mixed. Because then, like those in Shanta, they're just there. In conjugal, they're just there. Mm. But these other three, they may be there individually, or they may be a mix of them. You know, so you see that you have the Dasya and the Sakya, or Sakya and, Vatsalya. Then you know, or all three of them, or just, like that. The seven minor rasas, Hasya, Adbhuta, Vira, Karunya, Raudra, Bhayanaka, and Bibhatsa, manifest in the five types of devotees. The five types of devotees are the Ashraya. The Vishayas of the first six minor rasas are Krishna, his devotees, and others related to him. The Vishayas of Bibhatsa rasa are impure objects like flesh and blood. Because I think Bibhatsa is horror. So.
Yes.
Krishna and his enemies are the Vishaya of Raudra and Bayanaka. The Anubhavas are swelling of the cheeks, widening of the eyes, etc. According to the rasa, two or three sattvika bhavas manifest as suitable to the occasion. The Vyabhichari bhavas are joy, etc. The bhavas are laughter, astonishment, enthusiasm, anger, lamentation, fear, and disgust. The stai bhavas are thus called hasya, vishmaya, utsaha, krodha, shoka, bhaya, and jugupsa, ratis. In vira ras, there are four types, yudhavira, danavira, dayavira, and dharmavira. Because of enthusiasm for fighting, charity works, giving mercy, and performing acts of dharma, the total number of rasas is thus 12. Mm-hmm. Right? In these minor rasas. Mm-hmm. So these ones and that, and then, what was that? They had one other. Is that seven? Seven and four. So where's the 12th one? The seven secondary rasas manifest within the five chief main rasas. Hasya and Yudhavira manifest in Sakya. Adbhuta rasa manifests in all primary rasas. Karuna, Dana, Vira, and Daya Vira manifest in Vatsalya. Right? In other words, the giving mercy and performing and charity. A small portion of Raudra rasa manifests in persons with Vatsalya and in Ujvala rasas. You know, so that anger. It is understood that the secondary rasas also have friends and enemies among the primary rasas. Right, so that's why you see some are not in the others, so they don't go together. 28. Rasa bas does not occur if the conflicting rasas are remembered, if they are negated by a statement, if the vishrayas or ashrayas are different, if the rasas are being compared, or if a friendly or neutral rasa intervenes. Otherwise, two inimical rasas together create rasa bas. If two friendly rasas combine, it creates excellent rasa. If both rasas are primary, rasa bas occurs even if the vishrayas or ashrayas are different. One should be a secondary rasa, right? Because, so in other words, if there's a primary and a secondary, then even though they're different, they can be combined, right? But if they're primary, then it has to be which ones go together, and which ones don't, then they shouldn't be combined. Because in there, it's always the same focus. However, in descriptions of Adhirudha Mahabhava, Adhirudha Mahabhava Radha, combination of inimical rasas does not create rasa bas. Moreover, if Krishna is simultaneously the Vishraya or Ashray, of all rasas, there is no rasa bas. Because he is rasa, and at the same time as she being the energy, she is the naturally also all these. So her manifesting all the varieties that are there, contradictory varieties within Anirudha Mahabhav, is not contradictory. But only she does that. Just as Krishna being rasa, there's no problem him being the ashray or the vishray. Like that. Yes.
To the previous point of primary and the secondary rasas, just to clarify, then the secondary, there's a sthayi bhava in secondary actually exists. Well, it's all connected to the primary. I'm not clear on that point.
That means they're connected to the... because they seem to be more prominent positions. They're not as transitory as the other vyavachari bhavas. So then they're given this position of being minor rasas. So it appears that they have their own sthayi bhava. Not that someone would be just in that, but they have their own nature of how that works. As the sthayi bhava means, then there's a specific vishaya and ashraya, right. And you know, the alambana and the udipan and all that. So
yeah,
certain things specifically will bring that up. Mm-hmm. While the other vyavichari bhavas, those are just coming up in connection with other anubhavas.
Right.
The anubhavas there and the sanchari bhavas then come up as assistants within that, transitory little things. But these actually will have things that will cause the rasa to arise and be, you know, exchangeable. Like that. So that's why they're given as this. But from what I understand, no one's just in one of these. You know, if they are, then it's not on the platform of prema. You know, it's just like Kamsa may be, you know, just envious or something like that. But it won't be in that naturally that eternal position. What I understand. The following are regularly accepted as rasa bas, footnote 11. These classes are upa-rasa, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.9, 4-13. Shanta rasa basa occurs if one does not show more astonishment for Krishna than Brahman. But if it's more about Brahman than Krishna, then it's you know, you're not actually situated in Shanta Rasa. You'll be below that in the platform of Jnana Yoga. You'll be a Jnani. So it's not actually on the platform of Rasa. Dasya Rasa Bas occurs if a servant shows impudence in front of Krishna. Shakya Rasa Bas occurs if there's an attempt at friendship between a person and Shakya with a person in Dasya Ras. Right? So that doesn't happen. There is Vatsalya Rasa Bas if, by recognizing the strength of one's child, one stomps pampering him. Right? So that's what happens, you see, in Dwarka. they just shift into dasya. So yoga maya has to again cover so that they can function. But in Vrindavan, it doesn't change. There's Ujjvala Rasa Bhas if one of the lovers does not desire enjoyment, or if there is a bold request for enjoyment. If Hasya and other secondary rasas are not related to Krishna, they are called Rasa Bhas. Right, so they're only supportive of the main rasa. These occur in enemies of Krishna, with Krishna as the Vishaya. They are cases of extreme rasa bhas. Footnote 12. This is called aparasa. One is uparasa. This is aparasa. 4938. Right? Yes.
The secondary rasas, are they also exchanged with Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha, or are these secondary rasas specific only to Krishna and Goloka?
That depends on the set that I know of. They can be with Narayan, but it just would generally be here within the pastimes here within the Mahatattva. Right? Okay, so that ends the bindu. You should mention that here. Okay. Introduction. Now we're on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Beginning of the first wave of the eastern section, entitled Samanya Bhakti, chapters 1 through 5 of NOD. Right, so Prabhupada had done 1 through 5, that's there, but in here, then it's the beginning of the first wave, so it has a different chronology.
We are using the same titles as Prabhupada,
yes.
Introduction.
Yes.
And then next, the same chapter is as
Prabhupada. Okay, so we break it like that. Okay, nice. So 111. Krishna, Akila, Rasamrita, Murti, Prasrimara, Ruchi, Rudha, Taraka, Palihi, Kalita, Shyama, Lalito, Radha, Prayan, Vitur, Jayati. Krishna, the destroyer of all sin and the bestower of all bliss, the very form of the highest bliss, filled with all rasas, excels all others in glory. He brings Taraka and Palika under his control by the diffusion of his beauty. He accepts Shyamala and Lalita as his equals and gives pleasure to Radha by his excellent qualities. Right, so he has this aspect of those who he deals with in a more junior kind of position, known as equals and known in superior. The superior not meaning in the way of reverence, just the meaning on how you say which direction things work. Does that make sense?
Yes.
No? Doesn't. Means with Taraka and Palika under his control, so they're just controlled by his beauty. Does that make sense? Lalita and Shyamala, there'll be more of that equal and interaction. But with Radharani, then he's just trying to please her. So that's the opening of Nakul.
If he is Radharani, it means he's taking subservient position.
Yes, but at the same time, in the pastimes, you'll see he'll have that arrogant youthfulness. So we're just talking about where the focus is. Means with Taraka and Palika, just himself, by his wonderful qualities, they're naturally just interacting. Lalita and Shyamala, then he acts, it's back and forth. With Radharani, his focus is on bringing her pleasure. Yes.
Another aspect is acting as equals, is they know exactly what kind of virtuous nature Krishna will have. Okay. All that Lalita who points it out,
yeah. She always figures it out. When Krishna's dressed up as a gopi and Radharani doesn't know, Lalita will point it out. Like that. Yeah, so equals, then that kind of stuff goes on. Second meaning. The full moon, which destroys suffering and creates happiness by its cooling rays, shines everywhere with its excellent qualities of beauty. It is the very form of nectar, filled with all tastes. It eclipses the host of stars by its light, accepts the playful gestures of the night, and finally enters the Vishakha constellation in the spring season. Exact same Sanskrit words? That, you get that. That's someone who knows. That is... how you say? That's a poet. Right? That they can write it, that it has all these different meanings. Because that's why they also have all these different names. So it's just like, you know, saying about the about words, we have to be comfortable that they also, the gopis use different names. You know, situations, the rasas are called by different, like you notice that Shakya is always called Shakya, Shakya had two names. Dasya always has Dasya, and then Vatsalya had I think two, but the conjugal had like in the beginning at least three names. I didn't even think it called Ujjwala, so like there's four. So it's just, so the same way as the gopis also have different names that they're known by. Like that. So it'll come up. Srila Prabhupada from NOD. Invoking auspiciousness, Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the reservoir of all rasas or relationships, which are called neutrality, passive adoration, servitorship, friendship, parental, parenthood, conjugal love, comedy, compassion, fear, chivalry, ghastliness, wonder, and devastation. He is the supreme attractive form, and by his universal and transcendental attractive features, he has captivated all the gopis, headed by Taraka, Palika, Shama, Lalita, and ultimately Srimati Radharani. Let his lordship's grace be on us, so that there may not be any hindrance in the execution of this duty of writing the nectar devotion. Impelled by his divine grace, Sri Srimad Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada. So then that, you see, Prabhupada brings out the aspect that everyone can approach. Because when with that one, then you understand, yes, he attracts all of them headed by these. But these different groups have different flavors. But that immediately, as soon as it comes up, then we go, what? Like that, yeah? Does that make sense? So we see Prabhupada's there, and as it goes, then it starts to introduce. Like Prabhupada's just so expert at that. Because the essential point is Krishna's the attractive feature for everybody. Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary. Sri Rupa, eternal peace incarnate, identical in mood to Sanatana, his elder brother, and whose younger brother was Sri Vallabha, is the means of my success and the good fortune of all jivas. Obsessed by the desire to benefit all the devotees of the world, the esteemed author Sri Rupa compiled this remarkable work, the scripture called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, using the rasas presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, which appeared within the lotus bud of his heart. Discerning that what will be described as the most exalted among all topics, he adds the introductory Mangala verse to indicate this, and thus announces that the whole of this work is auspiciousness incarnate. Because it's all about Krishna, destroyer of all sin, bestower of all bliss. Like that. Highest bliss, excels in all glories, like that. Vidhu. What is Vidhu? What is that connected
with? Explaining each word.
Oh, okay. So now he's going to go through. Oh, this is Jiva Goswami's commentary still. Okay. Ooh. So, because it's the invocation, it gives a very long commentary. Oh, okay. Not, oh, no. Vidhu. Vidhu refers to Sri Krishna. Vidhu, Krishna, excels in all excellent qualities. Vitur Jayati. Though Vidhu, meaning, quote, he who is marked with the Sri Vatsa's symbol, end quote, indicates the general form of the Lord who makes successive appearances in the world. It also indicates specifically Krishna. Footnote 13. Vishvambara, Kaitaba, Jid, Vibhu, Sri Vatsa, Lanchanad, from the Amar Kosh 1146. The reason is this. Vidhu stands for Vidhu Noti, which means he who defeats. It indicates the person who transcends all suffering or the person who surpasses all other things. Vidhu can also stand for Vidhadati, which means he produces. This indicates the person who produces all happiness or the person who causes everything. In this way, the meaning of Vidhu can be derived. Considering these factors, one can come to a conclusion about the meaning of Vidhu. One must conclude that Vidhu means Krishna. He alone is famous for his ability to liberate even the demons, and thus destroys even their suffering. He alone is famous for his ability to surpass all others by his power. He alone is famous for bestowing happiness, up to the greatest happiness found in his most astounding prema. He alone is famous as Swayam Bhagavan, the original cause of everything. Therefore, his names are particularly mentioned in the Amar Kosh with great prominence, with such statements as Vasudevosya Janaka. His father is Vasudeva, footnote 14. A list of names of Vishnu is given in Amar Kosh, but among them, many specifically refer to Krishna. All these meanings of Vidhu are made clear by the verb Jayati. He excels, Jayati, all others. This means, quote, he exists with all the most excellent qualities, end quote. That indeed refers only to Krishna, because others will have qualities, and Vishnu has, you know, all great qualities, but Krishna, Vishnu has all these qualities, but he only manifests 60 in fullness, and the four you don't see, but Krishna manifests those four. Right? So therefore, when you talk about all the qualities, then that can only mean Krishna. Right? The present tense is used to dispel the conception of common people that it cannot be perceived now, since he was visible only for the period of his descent. Right? Because otherwise he exists. Because we can say, oh, that's in the past. No, he always exists in that position. So if you serve him properly according to the recommendations, then one can appreciate him. Proofs from Srimad Bhagavatam are as follows. Destroying all suffering. At the moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip in his right hand and a bridle rope in his left, who is very careful to give protection to Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original forms after death. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.39, right? So you had 640 million people going back to Godhead during that 18 days.
Big preaching.
Huh?
Big preaching.
Yeah, big preaching, yeah. Right, so just seeing him, he's the original attraction, just by anything connected to him, then everybody's suffering goes, surpassing all others. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes, and is independently supreme by the achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipable by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching the millions of helmets to his feet. Right, so all these other great personalities who are the maintainers of the creation, they're all surrendering to Krishna. And he is the Lord of threes. So we see as in the philosophy so much, it's all in threes. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, in the internal potency, chit, you know, the, how you say, the internal, external, and marginal, chit, achit, ishwara, sambandha, sandini, samvit, sladini. You know, it's all it comes in threes. Bestowing the greatest happiness. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and is smiling, attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry with the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.24.65, right? Because Creator is Vishnu, so they're upset with him. Because that way then they can't see Krishna. So, he gives the greatest happiness, because even if in blinking you're annoyed. Right? Because on the material platform you've never heard of anyone complain about the blinking. Right? Then, dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds would not deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the crows, birds, trees, and other deer manifest the ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.40. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, is the ornament of all ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. Means they all appreciate also, even Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha appreciates Krishna's bodily beauty. Like that, because all Vishnu Murtis are all servants. They consider themselves servants of Krishna. acting as the source of all others. Ete chamsa kala pumsa, no, kumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. All the list of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28, existing eternally with all excellences. Lord Sri Krishna lives eternally with all excellences among the cowherd men and the Yadavas, and is conclusively both the son of Devaki and Yashoda. That means he's both conclusively that, because in his form as Bhaktisthi, you could say as Bhagawan, he is the son of Mother Yashoda. As Paramatma, his feature of Paramatma or Vasudev Krishna, he is there then the son of Devaki. He is the guide of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherd men, and with his mighty arms he kills everything inauspicious. Oh, this is the Jayati Jan. In Vraja and Mathura and Dwarka. By his presence, he destroys all things inauspicious for all living entities, moving and inert, and the suffering of separation of the inhabitants of Vraja and Dwarka. His blissful, smiling face always increases the desires of the gopis of Vrindavan and the women of Mathura and Dwarka. He remains eternally in this situation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.48. Means he's eternally in this position. That means there's no such thing as it's Kali Yuga, these things don't apply. He's always in this position. That means service to him is always gives the effect. So, Akila Rasamrita Murtihi. That's the next word, right? Because the, what is it? The verse Akila Rasamrita Murtihi. It also had the Vidur Jayati. So he dealt with Vidur Jayati. Now he's dealing with this. The cause of all these outstanding qualities, destroying all suffering, surpassing all, bestowing the greatest bliss, and being the source of everything, right? Because these are the definitions of Vidu, right? Is then described. His unique feature, which is the cause of all the qualities, is this form of supreme bliss, Amrita Murtihi. Since he contains all 12 rasas, Akila Rasa, starting with Shanta. Right, so he is the cause. All these outstanding qualities are coming from him because he is, his very form is the form of rasa. So it's coming from his form because of all the opulences, beauty is the first. All the others are expanding from there. Taking him into their hearts, through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasy. And as their bodily hairs stood on end, O Sudur of enemies, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.41.28. So, unlimited distress, that they forgot about that because that unlimited happiness that's there in his association, just by seeing him. This universe appears real because it is manifest by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.22. Malanam Asanir Narinam Nara Vara Shtrinam Smaro Murti Man. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, Vira Rasa. The men of Mathura as the best of males, Vishmaya Rasa. The women as Cupid in person, Madhura Rasa. The cowherd boys as their relatives, Shakya Rasa and Hasya Rasa. The impious rulers as a chastiser, Rauder Rasa. His parents as their child, Vatsalya Rasa and Karuna Rasa. The king of the Bojas as Des, Bayanaka Rasa. The unintelligent as the supreme lord's universal form, Vatsa Rasa. The yogis as absolute truth, Shanta Rasa. And the Vrishnis as the supreme worshipable deity, Dasya Rasa. Footnote from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.43.17. Footnote 15. In this example, the Vira Rasa, Bhayanaka Rasa, Rauder Rasa, and Bibhatsa Rasas are only abhasas, since they appear in the inimical demons. Right? So they're not coming in their full form as they will if they're manifest in his associates. Therefore, Krishna is the Lord beyond the material modes. One should meditate upon him, relish him, serve him, and worship him. Gopal Thapana Upanishad 1.48. Okay. One sees the superiority of his appearance in this world through the supreme position of his followers, who are endowed with the highest quality of rasas. This reaches its highest degree with those persons endowed with the supreme conjugal rasa. And thus, the Mangala verse depicts Krishna's relationship with the gopis. Right? So Jiva Goswami is pointing that out. So in the Mangalacharna, he's talking about that, because that's the highest attainment that can be it can be attained by this work. Right? So it will... The object is Krishna developing that love. That's what one can do. It will remove all obstacles and everything that is there, all inauspiciousness and all these different things. Then Bhagavatam verse. What austerities the gopis must have performed. With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-14. Yeah. So to be able to see Krishna in that form that the gopis see, that's extremely rare. Right? So that's the specialness that Lord Chaitanya is giving. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32-14. Then Bhagavatam 10:33-26. In the midst of the dancing gopis, Lord Krishna appeared most brilliant, like an exquisite sapphire in the midst of golden ornaments. Right, because the golden ornaments, then they're, you know, they have that color, and then the sapphire has that very dark blue color. Right. Then the chief ten among all the gopis are described in the Uttara section of the Bhavishya Purana. The ten gopis are Gopali, head of a group friendly with Chandravali. Palika, friendly with Chandravali. Footnote 16. According to Radha Krishna Ganodesh Deepika, Gopali, Palika, and Bhadra are friendly to Chandravali. That would make them neutral gopis. Right, so they're... So, yeah, here. Here, the... What is it? That? Palika and Bhadra. Yeah, because Bhadra and Shaibya, they are Chandravali's Lalita and Vishaka. Okay. So you'll see that they're always mentioned. Okay. Then Dainya, an unmarried gopi, footnote 17, Ujjwala Neelamani 3:35. So she's the head of the young gopis that are unmarried. Right? They're the ones that did the Katyayani Vrata. Vishaka, Radha Shaki with her own group, as well as Danishta, Lalita Shaki. Radha, Lalita, Anuradha. Chandravali, Somabha, Radha's chief, because her name is also Somabha. Because Chandra and Soma are also. So Lalita is also known as Anuradha. Here. Taraka, Radha Shaki, somewhat distance, and Dasami. Another reading is Vishaka Danya Nishtika instead of Vishakanya Danishtaka, because of the word Tata, Dasami, can refer to Taraka. Taraka also called Dasami, the tenth. However, Dasami can also refer to the name of a separate gopi. Footnote 20. What happened to 19?
18 and 19.
She's mentioned among the 64 important gopis in Radha Ganodesh Deepika. That is Danishta. Okay. Then 19. Where was that?
Taraka.
Okay, Taraka. She's mentioned in Vidagdha Madhava 7:26. However, Mukunda Goswami, in his commentary, says that Taraka and Palika represent the opposing and neutral groups. So that's why they're mentioned. Right, so depending upon where they are, whose pastimes, whose circle they are, they have different positions. So that's why you shouldn't get worried that, oh, she's there, she's there. You just go by what our acharyas say, because that's what they are in the position of our entrance into Braj. Does that make sense? Just like we were saying for the Nimbarkas, then... Vrinda Devi and Yamuna Devi. They're the two main gopis, like Lalita and Vishaka are in Braj. for Radharani. Does that make sense? So it's just their mood, their approach is different, so different gopis are prominent. And the arrangement of how everything is different. So it's just a matter of, you have a perspective. That's why it's very important, we're Rupa Anugas. We see how Rupa sees. That's the entrance. So that's why reading so many different things and getting, oh, but this one, this, and that one, that, and okay, when so scholarly of that, that's very nice. But then, who are you seeing according to? Yourself. And how far will that get you? Right? So you have to see, so we see according to Rupa Goswami. So the Acharyas mention other names and this and that, then that is according to other different situations. Does that make sense? Yes.
So that means that Radharani is Yukteswari, and then Lalita and Rupa Manjari, this is the line we follow?
Yes. She's a Yukteswari, but the others, not that they don't have their heads of their groups, but she's the head group. Mm-hmm. Means all these other Yukteswaris are under Radharani. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Just like so many others, they're under Chandravali.
Right.
And then I know of there's another group that is kind of neutral. They'll work with either. Mm-hmm. So you have these categories. So basically you have Radharani's group, Chandravali's group. Mm-hmm. And then they're either directly under, or you know, they're friendly with, or they're inimical towards, like this. So depending on what it is, then you'll see them in different positions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
If we see according to Sri Rupa Goswami, we don't mention so much the name of Chandravali.
No, we don't. It's just when it comes up in lists, then she may be there. But in the regular worship, just like you see Sakrisar Deepika, when you're doing preliminary pujas before starting in that, in the mandala, Chandravali is mentioned. But when you're doing the main puja and all that, she's not mentioned. Because all the energies are there, but when you're dealing with, you know, our group, then she's not mentioned.
Okay. We don't need to know what the other group is doing.
Is it important?
Yes, no.
Just like in Paris, do you need to know what they're doing in Berlin? No, what music they're eating, what bratwurst, or you know, like this. You don't care. So it's like that. You know, it's like that.
Is it like because we are Rupanugas, then our destination will be in that group only?
We couldn't hear even one word.
She's asking that.
Maybe it's not important. We don't know.
Yes, moving on. Okay, so 20. 10 gopis can be counted only if Dashami, born on the Dashami Tithi, is considered the name of a gopi. If Dashami refers to Taraka, then there are only 9 gopis. Right, because Taraka can be also, she's known as Dasami. Yeah. But if there's another gopi that's born on that date, and therefore she's being referred to here. Because a lot of times, because you're dealing with the feminine aspects, the conjugal aspects, and here, subtleties is very much prominent. Yeah. So sometimes things will be direct, sometimes they won't be. Yeah. You know, sometimes even part of something will be and other parts won't be. Does that make sense? So since we're dealing in here, we would appreciate the appreciation of the subtle. It's been said. Take it, you know, digest it. Yes. When the word Dasami means that Taraka was born on Dasami Titi. Oh, then the word, okay. If the second version is used, then Danya Nishtika does not seem to be a gopi's name, but rather refers to Vishaka. There would be only 8 chief gopis. If Dasami means that the 10th gopi in the list is Taraka, then another gopi must be found in the list. This may be possible by taking Anuradha to mean Lalita, as well as a gopi named Anuradha. However, such a name is not mentioned as a separate gopi in the scriptures. Right? So then as these 10 that are mentioned, then it's pointing out it can be a list of 8. Yes. It's not that the 10's wrong. It can be there. But for us, generally, it's a list of eight. And so then they've shown how it's eight. In the Dwarka Mahatmya, in the Prahlada Samhita of the Skanda Purana, starting with the words Lalitovacha, a different list of the eight chief goofies is given. Right? Catch how it worked? You know, it's just like the journalist approaches Prabhupada. What do you think of Ramakrishna? I don't think of him. What do you think of Vivekananda? And he says, he's another rascal. So that means a four. So he says, so the ten names, this, that, blah, like that. So another list of eight chief gopis. So in other words, it's the first list was that of eight.
Also, the way it is mentioned, nobody after reading whole thing will ever argue on the point.
No, it's Kivika Swai Hayo.
It's so much more than what somebody.
It's way beyond, yeah. These are Lalita Radha's chief Shaki, footnote 21. According to Priti Sandarbha 367, the phrase Radhanu Radha means Radha and Lalita. Therefore, the gopi named Anuradha in the verse from the Bhavishya Purana is actually Lalita. Shyamala, in a group friendly to Radha, in a Surit Paksha. Surit means friendship, right? Means, yeah. Kshaibya, one of Chandravali's chief Shakis. Padma, the chief Shaki of Chandravali. And Bhadra. And in common with the previous list, Radha, Danya, and Vishakha. So that, because Danya is the small, then Vishakha and Lalita are with Radharani. So you have Radharani and her two gopis, Chandravali and her two gopis. So that's, what do you call it? That's six, right? Then you have Shyamala, seven. Then you have Danya and Vishakha. That's still we're getting nine. So what do we get those then?
Danya?
Yeah, okay. With the intention of showing the devotees with the highest rasa. Right, so this is different from the Radharani's Astasaki. These are when you have the 108 main gopis, and of those eight are main, this are those eight. Does that make sense?
When we speak about Yogpit.
Yogpit, then we're talking about Radharani and her main gopis, the Astasakhi. So it'll be Radha Krishna with their gopis around the Yogpit. But when we're talking about the 108 main gopis, Radharani is in that, it means there's 108 of that eight are prominent. That's what this is talking about. This is the list of the eight prominent gopis. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a difference. Then Radharani, she has her yogpi, so her Astasaki. Chandravali would have her Astasaki. Like that. Does that make sense? So you have Radharani as one, Chandravali is two, Lalita is three, Vishakha is four. Then Shaibya, five, who is the other one? Shaibya? Padma is six, or Padma and then Shaibya. Then you have Bhadra, Shyamala, like this. So they'll be all on this list. But that's kind of the order as they come down. So basically you have Radharani, then you have Chandravali, and then it has. So Radharani's leading assistants are higher than Chandravali's leading assistants. Just like she's there, then that, then her assistants are higher than like this. Oh, that was it, Shyamala. I forgot, yeah, I left her out. So Shyamala, she runs her own group. She's the head of her own group, but she's friends with Radharani. So she's not part of the Astasaki, meaning of Radharani's eight. But when they give lists of the Astasakis, generally the Acharyas include Shyamala. So they'll say Astasaki, and then they'll mention nine gopis with her. Because she's always there. She's in friendship rasa. She doesn't have that aspect of servitor. Right? Does that make sense?
Only these eight gopis.
That I can't say like that because there's unlimited. There's millions of gopis. So point is this: when you say 108 main gopis, they're all group leaders. So each one of them will have their own group, and that's 108 is a prominent out of 16,108. of group leaders. And those are prominent out of millions. So there's millions of gopis, but 16,108 are prominent. Of that 108, of that 8, of that 2, of that 1.
Right?
Yes.
And then there are Manjaris.
Yeah, and then there are Manjaris and like that. So. With the intention of showing the devotees with the highest rasa, in order to show the successive superiority of rasa and pairs of chief gopis, Rupa Goswami first mentions the two gopis, Taraka and Pali, who are of the lesser stature among the chief gopis. Footnote 22. Taraka is less prominent gopi of Radha's group, and Palika is a gopi favoring Chandravali. Palika may be classed as belonging to the neutral opposing group. And points out the excellence of rasa by their example. Krishna controls Rudha, Taraka, and Pali by his beautiful features, Ruchi, which radiate outwards, Prasmrimara. The name Palika is derived according to the rule Samgyayam Khan. The suffix ka is added after a word with the meaning of contemptible or to denote an object of compassion. Right? Right, so Taraka, yeah. When the final word is a name. Panini 5.3, 75 through 76. Thus, the word Pali, protector, becomes Palika, little ruler. Sometimes, instead of Palika, she is called Pali, as in this verse. Right, so they all have these different names how they are. Kalita Shyama Lalita. The two chief gopis of medium status are thus described. Krishna accepts Kalita, Shyama, footnote 23. In this verse, Shyama refers to Shyamala. There's another gopi called Shyama who is described as neutral to Radha. Right, so she can be called Shyamala, but if they're going to be mentioned, one will be Shyama, one will be Shyamala. But Shyamala, if she's with Radharani's group, they may refer to as Shyama. Right? Because it's just the nature to shorten things when things are close. Right?
Is Vrindadevi given a different name in Hare?
Whether she's taking that position, I'm not sure. I've never seen her mentioned in that capacity. But because she controls the arrangements like that. But it's the arrangement specifically in connection with Radharani and her pastimes. So. And Lalita making them his very self. 24. Shyamala belongs to a group very friendly to Radha's group. Lalita belongs to Radha's group. They are dear to Krishna than the previous two gopis. Right, because all these gopis are dear to Krishna. But it's just whether they're favorable or neutral to Radharani or in Radharani's group. Just because they're not doesn't mean that Krishna doesn't have a relationship and they're not dear. But it's just that there's an order. In other words, those that are connected with Radharani, then that's going to have one group. So then these ones, Shyamala and Lalita, then they're taken as, you know, like equals to Krishna. So then he may talk to them in that way and try to work things out with them. Yes. Right? So that makes sense. Yeah. Radha Prayan. So that was... Yeah, okay, Radha Prayan. Now that going to the end of the aspect. Then the supreme among the chief gopis is mentioned. Krishna gives most pleasure to Radha, Radha Prayan. The meaning of Prayan is derived as follows. Panini's rule is Igupada Gya Pri Kara Kaha. To form a noun from the verb form after a verb ending in a consonant but preceded by iu or ri, short or long, and after the verbs gya, pri, and kri, the affix ka, the syllable a, is added. Right? So you have to go through this whole thing, and then you put an a on there. Right? Pani 3.1.135. Thus, pri, meaning to please, becomes the agent noun priya. He who endeavors to please. Right? Because you have please, but then that's a verb. But the one who's endeavoring to please, that is a noun. So that becomes priya. Priyan, the comparative form of priya, means he who endeavors to please to the utmost. So priya is he who endeavors to please, but here in this verse, Rupa Goswami said radha priyan. So he's endeavoring to please to the utmost position. Just when you, so now, just as a side thing, just because we have to say it. Now, having already gone through Vedanta Sutra, it makes it easy. Well, if we hadn't gone through that, this stuff, this would be giving us the same problems as the Vedanta Sutra. Does that make sense? But now we can appreciate the depth of what the acharyas go through, and how, because all we've been doing, this is a word by word translation, you know, or commentary on. Does that make sense? So that's the whole process. If that's appreciated, then one can see the finity that goes into how Rupa Goswami's composed the verse and how exactly he's done. So that's why I use prayan, because he's mentioned all the gopis. And then he mentions Radha. Okay, and then Radha Priya, or like this, nice, but prayan. Then he strives to the utmost to please her. So she is given prominence in this verse by that over all the other gopis. So then those finities come out. And like Prabhu said, you know, when Jiva Goswami starts talking, then all the grammarians step back, because it's like they're not even going to go near this one. Yes. In consideration of Radha's most extraordinary nature, she is not described in a similar way as the two other pairs of gopis. In the first two pairs of gopis, Krishna is the agent of enjoying. But in the case of Radha, he gives pleasure to her. Right? So the others are, how you say, is the agent of enjoying, like that. The others, then he's equal with them and deals like that, is very intimate. But with Radharani, he's striving to his utmost to please her. So she's in her own category. Like the other ones come in groups, that she's not. Therefore, she must be considered to be the chief gopi. This fact is mentioned in the Padma Purana Kartik Mahatmya in describing Radha Kund. Radha's Kund is dear to the Lord as Radha herself. She alone among all the gopis is dearest to the Lord. The Machi and Skanda Purana show her as the main gopi in Vrindavan. Though the statement is made considering her non-different from Rukmini, only in the general sense that they are the same Shakti, since actually Radha is comparable to Satyabhama rather than Rukmini, right? Because in mood, means Rukmini being the prominent is Radharani. But the mood is not that of Radharani. The mood will be that of Chandravali, while Satyabhama will take on that mood of Radharani. But the point is Radharani is the chief, so therefore when Krishna goes to Dwarka, she goes as his chief queen. But because of the nature of the instead of the Parakya into Swakya, then the role reverses. Does that make sense? Yeah. Rukmini Dwaratnyam tu Radha Vrindavane Vane. As Rukmini is the chief queen in Dwarka, Radha is the chief gopi in Vrindavan. Right? So in that way then it's there. In the Brihat Gautamiya Tantra it is said, Radhika is the supreme devata, non-different from Krishna. She is the embodiment of all opulence and beauty. She is the supreme enchanter. Right? So if someone's working within the Gyanamoy or within the Vaikuntha mood, then you'll always generally compare her back to Rukmini, just because then you know where to go from. So Rukmini is the chief. You understand that she's the chief of all the internal potency. Right? So she's even superior to Lakshmi and like this, and that manifestation in Vaikuntha. So then when you say Radharani is in that position with Krishna, then you know where the position is. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why you may see that some of these scriptures will show in that way. It's not saying that she comes from Rukmini. It's just showing for those who are looking at Vrindavan pastimes from the Vaikuntha perspective, how she's situated. Does that make sense? No? Yeah. In the Rig Pari Shishta, it is said, among all people, Krishna eternally shines with supreme qualities in the company of Radha, and Radha shines with supreme qualities only in the company of Krishna. Right? So Krishna manifesting his maximum glories is only when Radha is there, and Radha is only present with Krishna. As soon as Krishna takes another form, she takes a different form. Right? You won't see that mood. Yes.
And the rest of her sakis, they follow her?
Yes, naturally. Yes.
She takes that form.
Yeah, yeah. Means everything. Means the yog peat means when you have the yog peat and you have that, therefore the mandala, it's there. Any of these others, that mandalas that are going farther down, it'll just be the same thing going down. Sometimes the mood will be so they may switch around the positions, depending on which aspect is there, what you're bringing out. Like sometimes you see Lalita is shown being in the northeast, and sometimes she's shown being in the east, depending on which aspect you're bringing out. Like that. So it's, that's there. So therefore, when you come down and you have the devatas in those directions, you know that their potency has come from those positions. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's a big management.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and they do it all. So it's all happening there. So that's all in support so that Radha and Krishna are together. Okay. Mm-hmm. It is Radha, therefore, who is described in the following Bhagavatam verse. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28. Because no one else has perfectly worshipped like she does. So therefore, she's always with Krishna. Right? So that's what has to be established, because before that they think that they are with Krishna, so they're in the perfect position. But then the problem comes is that then you can Radharani has to be one of the persons in the rasa dance, right? But Radharani wants to arrange it so that Krishna can see the whole rasa dance at the same time be there. So therefore Radha and Krishna have to be in the center. Then you have circles of dance going around. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. But that can only be appreciated if one understands that this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda. Mm-hmm. Only when that is realized and they have that proper attitude, then the rasa dance can go on in this natural form. That's why the introduction of rasa, they come together. But then Krishna leaves because it's not favorable for the full manifestation of rasa dance. Yes? No? Good. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityai Gaura Premanandi.